It's time for the Power Hour of Love, starring Charboil and
El Bandito. Welcome to the fiesta.
Hey everybody, welcome to Charboil and El Bandito's Power Hour of Love. I am Charboil and with me is
El Bandito.
How are you doing today, El Bandito?
Oh, El Bandito is doing very good. I had a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Me too, man, but I just can't wait for the weekend coming up.
Oh really? What's coming up in the upcoming weekends?
Because, man, we're getting closer and closer to one of my favorite holidays.
The 4th of July?
Absolutely. You got it right on the first time, El Bandito.
Hey, what? Nothing better than to celebrate the independence of your country than by blowing a huge chunk out of it.
Absolutely. You know why I'm also really excited?
Why's that?
I have a good friend coming over to visit, Uncle Slam.
Oh, yeah? Who's Uncle Slam? I don't think I've ever met him before.
Uncle Slam, someone I met on one of my earlier adventures, man. Like, you know, he's all patriotic and, you know, he's a real American hero, unlike Captain America.
Oh, man. Are you still hung up on that whole Hydra thing?
I haven't heard anything different since, but it has since died down. So I guess maybe they probably, you know, said it was like some other guy or a faceless man or something like that.
They probably embarrassed themselves and they said, okay, we better rewrite this crap pretty quick.
Absolutely, man. But yes, you were saying you had a really good weekend. Why don't you tell us about that?
I did. Well, I actually went to the Digital Evening with Jim Rose.
Oh, that was that show that was over at the Distillery?
Yes. It was put on by Maximum Entertainment and all the wonderful peoples over there.
Oh, very cool. How was it?
It was fantastic. I thought it was super awesome. I mean, what an amazing event to get to teleconference live with the living legend, you know, Jim Rose from the incredible Jim Rose Circus.
Absolutely. I saw Jim Rose about 15 years ago, and he had a guy that balanced a lawnmower on his chin, and yeah. People got to throw lettuce into it.
Yeah, we got to watch some video clips of that right before Jim came on, but then they teleconferenced him in from France.
Wow, all the way across the pond, huh?
Yeah, he's living out there in France, and it was like 4 a.m. or something over there. Oh. And he was, he was up in the middle of the night talking to us and playing his harmonica, and he had his dog that can sing with the harmonica. It was fantastic.
I didn't even know Jim Rose knew how to play a harmonica.
Yeah, apparently it's something he's learning new, and he was showing us how most of his like cunnilingus moves like happen to lend well to harmonicking. So, you know, I think I may have to take that on myself.
Oh, there you go, man. Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, you might find that you're already a very good harmonica player.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It'll probably come to me very quickly.
maybe on a future episode, you'll have to show off some of your harmonica skills.
We'll do it. I'll work on it. We'll plan it for December of 2022.
Well, that's great, man. So that's great. So what were some of the other acts that were out there besides Jim Rose?
Oh, well, they had a number of really exciting acts. One of my personal favorite was the have to be seen to be believed act, Tishy Pop.
Oh, Tishy Pop was back, huh? I bet you they put on a wild show.
Oh, absolutely. They had this whole extra element this time of a kind of person who was dressed in some kind of bear costume. And he had this candy cane and like this weird translucent plastic face. And he would just stand around in the crowd and just like leer at people. It was very creepy, but you know, it added this whole element of danger to their set that really took it to another level.
Wow, that sounds pretty wild. So now they're not just staying up on stage. They got someone wandering around the crowd.
Yeah, it was funny because he wasn't really wandering around. He was standing like a statue, just leering at people.
Oh, like a silent sentinel.
Like a stalker, yes, out there in the shadows. And he would move on occasion, you know, back and forth, and the other members would come out and sing and almost like sing at him, like they were yelling at him or something. And,
okay.
You know, so it was pretty intense, you know. But they're always fun to watch. You know, they're kind of that avant-garde sort of new age performance that you watch and you're just like, this, you know, it's just raw feeling. That's all it is. It's not a conscious understanding of what you're seeing as much as just what you feel when you see it.
Yeah, that's, you know, the first time I saw them, I definitely got that vibe that they're much more of performance art and, you know, the way that they represent, you know, but it is very, like you said, very raw. It's very punk rock in a sense. So, you know, like the original tone of punk of just, you know, doing what you want to do and, you know, expressing yourself the way you want to express yourself. So that's very cool, man. Mm-hmm. So who else was playing that night?
Well, they had the Pub Wreckers.
Oh, man, the Pub Wreckers? Did they happen to wreck the distillery?
Oh, man, they wrecked a couple of people at the distillery, that's for sure. But, yeah, they were outstanding. I mean, we played a bit of them. I think it was last week, right?
Yes.
Or 2 weeks ago, last show.
We do actually have a track for them tonight, too.
Oh, good, yes.
Yeah. We'll get to that soon.
Yeah, we'll play a track from them. But yeah, seeing them on stage, you know, just wrecking it up. And I have to say, we have to take a moment to nod the old cap to Senior Chucky Bucks.
I saw a video of this online. Chucky Bucks was there.
Yep. And he went out there and he used his superior drinking skills to challenge the Pub Wreckers. And he went on stage and coined what they're calling the Irish Nuke. He did an Irish car bomb that was the size of a pitcher of beer that he dropped a triple shot of Bailey's into.
Wow. Leave it to Chucky Bucks. Well, at least he got his time in the limelight.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I watched the video myself. You know, I got to see it live. And you know, looking at the video after the fact, he chugged an entire pitcher of beer in 10 seconds flat.
Wow. That's got to be like a Guinness World Record.
Is that like a joke? That's pretty good.
Yeah. I made it funny. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was very impressive and went along great with the theme and feel of their music.
What about Take Warning? I know they were rocking it out there.
Oh, yeah, Take Warning was there, and they do some awesome covers, man. They do some punk rock covers, you know, and they have a few original songs of their own, too, you know, but, man, like, they kill a cover. You know, I love their lead singer. She has a lot of energy and excitement, and, you know, I know she was out there just, like, making love to the crowd with her eyes, man. It was amazing.
There you go, man. The Pub Wreckers always bring it. So now I got to hear about it. How is Vera Vermilion?
Oh, I almost didn't want to talk about it. Be still my heart. The beautiful, the lovely, the amazingly talented Vera Vermilion was out there as the official sword swallower of the Digital Evening with Jim Rose event. And she is amazing. Not only is she stunningly beautiful, but she has a great stage presence. You know, she has a very great offstage presence where she is very friendly, walks around, talks to everyone in the crowd. But when she went up to perform, it will leave you speechless.
Did she swallow your sword?
No. You know, this it's one of those things. You know, I kind of have to keep mine in the car.
Oh, because she's a performer. She gets to bring hers into the venue.
I'm just a lowly patron when I go, so not allowed to bring weapons into the building. You know, unless a fight breaks out or something like this. But you know, no. For the most part, it's probably for the best because mine's might be a little too long for her, anyways.
Well, hell
but
yeah.
No, she took some giant swords and, you know, was swallowing them on stage. She even had the, I can never think of the name of it, what they call the serpentine style swords that are squiggly.
I think those are just called serpentine blades.
Okay, that sounds about right then, so let's go with that. But yeah, she swallowed one of those and you could see she would take her hand away and kind of move back and forth and let it go down her throat like that, and you could see it just bobbing back and forth with the curves of the blade.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
goodness.
So you knew she was really taking it down. But, you know, she let members of the audience come up and draw the sword from her mouth, which
was
amazing, you know.
Yeah, I would be putting that in somebody else's hands. Ooh.
So very brave of her, but, you know, the most stunning feat to me, which I was just like, wow, speechless, was she actually took down a set of hedge clippers. You know, like
gardening shears?
Yeah, full-on gardening shear hedge clippers.
Oh, my.
And she took the whole blade down and just had the second half of the arm and blade, like, just across her face. And I've never seen anything like that before. That was pretty awesome.
That sounds really cool, man. Well, definitely, man. Well, it sounds like a Digital Evening with Jim Rose was pretty awesome.
It was. And I'd like to thank Vera personally for talking to me for so long and, you know, being such a beautiful, wonderful woman. And she was super nice. And I hope to run into her again, maybe a few times.
Absolutely. From what we hear, you know, Maximum Entertainment ain't stopping with a Digital Evening with Jim Rose. Pretty soon they're going to have that Green Jello show in August. And who knows what's beyond those, you know, those heights.
Yeah, those horizons just lead to more and more shows. So we'll keep an eye out on Maximum Entertainment and all of the amazing work they're doing in the futures. But for now, it looks like it's time for our first musical break.
All right. Well, being that we just talked about a digital evening with Jim Rose, why don't we kick it off with the Pubwreckers with their hit Sheep.
All you beautiful sheeple out there, that was Sheep by the Pubwreckers.
What a great tune, man. That one really gets you moving.
Oh, it does, and it just gets stuck in your head. You'll find yourself in your car tomorrow being like, rah, 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 rah.
Is that what you think that says, El Bandito?
That's what they're saying. It's like a song about zombies and things, you know?
No, man, he's saying, we are all a bunch of sheep.
I don't think that's what they're saying.
I think so, man. I'm telling you, because, you know, this reminds me of that time when we fought those villains, the sheeple.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And that guy could, like, every time you would hit him, he would multiply agains and agains and agains and agains.
Yep. And he was like, be like me, be like me, be like me. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it was, that was a very tough battle. I don't even remember how we overcame it.
With the wool clippers, remember?
Oh, this is true. This is true. The mighty... you know, buzzsaw. But absolutely, yeah, the pub records are always fun, always down to wreck some pubs and drink some drinks, like you mentioned with Chucky Bucks last weekend. So, yeah, definitely thanks to the pub records for getting us some more tunes to play here on the Power Hour.
Yeah, and that is a great track. You know, I joke around, but that was one of the times where it was most easiest to hear the words because, you know, it's a recording. Rather, when it's live, you know, you're just so into it. You know, you're kind of just rocking more than you're really thinking about what they're saying.
Totally.
So it was great to listen to the song and hear the words and really get the message of it. you know, the sheeple and everything like that. You know, we're all just sheep. You know, it's a cool track, man. But it does. It gets stuck in your head. You know, you doubt me tomorrow. You'll be thinking about the Power Hour going, rah, rah, nah, 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 nah.
Absolutely, El Bandito. So, yeah, man, like, lots of stuff besides a digital evening with Jim Rose did happen this past weekend.
You mean like a lot of events and current things around the world?
Well, you know, maybe not. Well, you could kind of call it an event, but, man, we've come to another season finale of Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. You know, here I was thinking you were going to talk about, like, the Brexit or something. You know? I should have known it was something way more important than that to the American peoples.
You know it, man, you know, because, you know, why would I care about, like, some European money, you know?
Well, wait, isn't Game of Thrones all people in Europe and stuff?
That's very true. That's very true.
No, I don't think Dorne is in Europe, right?
No, I wouldn't say so. That's like Saudi Arabia. Okay. But yeah, without getting into too many details, it was definitely an exciting final episode. What did you think?
Oh, I thought it was amazing. I thought this whole season so far has just been spectacular. You know, there's just so many groundbreaking shake 'em up events, you know, with people, you know, coming back into the show that have been gone for a while, new developments, new plots, new twists, new turns. You know, it's just, to me, this has been the best season so far. I've been on the edge of my seat every episode, and the season finale was no exception to that. You know, I remember talking to you shortly after reviewing it, and we were discussing, like, different events that were going down, and I remember you telling me that, you know, you thought it was funny that I was surprised by so many of the things taking place, you know, but I've never read the books. You know, you have a little more insight into, like, the characters and things like that, you know, because you pay attention a little better than I think El Bandito does. I think I get distracted by the beautiful women's. But, you know, a lot of the characters and their motivations and things and their actions in this finale just, wow, shocked me, and I loved it. I loved that. I love being surprised. You know, it's not the same generic story.
Sure, sure. I would say it definitely pushes the series into the end game of Thrones that, you know, you could tell that this is probably going to wrap up in, you know, let's say, you know, 11, 12 episodes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I heard some buzz online that they're going to have two more seasons. And but they're going to be short seasons. I think maybe six to eight episodes per season.
That's what I heard.
Yeah,
too.
And then they'll wrap this up. But it has been quite an adventure. I was talking to some friends of mine recently, you know, this beautiful woman's, who said that she hadn't seen the show, and you know, I wasn't really planning on spending a lot more time with her, but she was like, you know, I'd love to watch this, and I said, hey, you know, you have a subscription to HBO Go? Yeah, I'll come over here and we'll watch that a little bit. That sounds good. You know,
absolutely. Well, you know, one thing that we did this year that was kind of fun is, along with some other folks that we know, we did have this little fantasy league going with the Game of Thrones show. And like I said, not to get into all of, you know, like, because like you said, we don't want to really reveal what happened in case some listeners haven't gotten a chance to watch the show yet. But,
yeah, in case you were working or doing something that was so important to you.
But I have to tell you, El Bandito, I was winning the majority of the season, and I lost by 1 point.
Oh, no.
Particular actions of certain characters in this episode scored them an amazing amount of points and literally let the other player win by 1 point.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a
real upset both in the show and in real
life. I would
life.
Say it was almost like an underdog victory because the other players' characters really did not do a lot the whole season. You know, it's a fantasy league kind of thing. So it's all like everyone's draft and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really do any trading or anything like that. But, you know, it was interesting. But I really thought I was going to end up on top. But I lost by a point.
It's okay. A lot of people in the show thought they were going to end up on top, and they lost by the points.
That's very true. That's very true. Things could always be worse, right?
Yep.
But, yeah, definitely, you know, so now you're just going to have to stick to watching Preacher on Sunday nights.
Oh, there you go. How's that? Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, actually, I've watched up until before this last episode, okay. So this last Sunday. So, yeah, it's...
Is Seth Rogen in it? Is he in it?
No, he's not actually in it, but he's one of the producers, so he has a lot of say. But I have to say, man, I wouldn't say that they're sticking to the comic books, but they're it's a very faithful adaptation.
Okay.
Where you know, it doesn't seem that they want to blow through the story as fast as like the comics did. Sure. Like it seems like one full season might actually take up that first, you know, let's say graphic novel.
Okay.
Which, you know, I do like on Walking Dead and stuff.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But yeah, I'd have to say that they, you know, the character, like the people who they got to play characters, mm-hmm. I think are really good. The only character I would say I don't really agree with would be the girl who plays Tulip, but that's
okay.
more from like the way that she's illustrated to who they had play her. But
sure. So it's strictly physical?
Yeah, strictly okay. physical, but the way the girl acts, she's perfect.
Okay. Well, yeah. You know what El Bandito always says, you know, it's... If it's not on point physical, yeah, you can kind of skip it.
But you should watch it. I know you've read all of those.
But that's just my philosophy on women.
So. Oh, gotcha. There you go. Yeah,
but yes, I did. I finished the comic book series. It's one of the few comic books that is finite. You know, it has a hard ending, you know.
Yes.
And yeah, it was fantastic. Very... Not for everyone.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And same thing with the show. They push the envelope, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I know that you stopped reading the comics right in a certain time where things very shortly thereafter went completely bananas. And I have thought to myself several times of what you would really think of the end of the book series. But to me, it's something that I'm like, that will never be on TV or wide range publication or anything like that. So I'm very anxious to see what they use from the show, what they don't use from the show, what they adapt and what they don't. But it sounds like from what you're saying that, you know, if they run the show for 5 years or so, like The Walking Dead, and they only do the first 5 graphic novels, they'll never get to that, you know? So
exactly,
they'll probably be able to wrap up most of the story and all and, really fall into line with what's going in with the comics and not really leaving anything out, but just like never getting to some things. Which
sure.
It's probably for the best. So.
Well, I'm going to say, man, like, you know, I do know a few things of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I do know that certain organizations in the show and stuff do get introduced. So it's like, you know, it will be very interesting to see how far they do go.
Sure.
But it's like, yeah, it's almost like it's,
I mean, is it a spoiler to talk about what's in the comic? I mean, anyone could just go and read it, right?
Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah, that one I would say wouldn't really be a spoiler.
Okay, see, I feel bad even talking about this on the show. People are going to call us and send us emails, you know, and then they're going to be bagging on us. But no, this is in the comic. It's real. And it's basically that they have a descendant of Christ who is still alive.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
It is because, like, the papacy of the time, like, kidnapped and imprisoned the sons and heirs of Jesus, you know?
Yes, yes.
And made them inbreed all throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
So this descendant that is alive today is like mentally retarded and deformed and things like that. And it's a little bit like, that is never going to fly on TV. Like the whole Bible Belt middle of America will rise up and burn AMC to the ground, you know? So I'm a little bit worried about that, but
yeah, they probably would have a big problem going to that extent, but mm-hmm. definitely the Grail organization and stuff
sure.
seems to at least be hinted at that they do exist
sure,
in the show. So we'll just have to see how far they go. But yeah, so far it's been really good.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Jesse, the guy who plays Cassidy,
mm-hmm.
I love their roles.
Oh, good.
Even
yeah.
the guy who plays, I don't think he's been officially dubbed Arseface on the show yet, but Eugene,
okay.
You know, the way they handle his character, I think is really cool. And a lot of the other just random townspeople that maybe aren't even in the comics that mm-hmm. they're just kind of bringing in, but it's such a...
Yeah, they're like minor characters and they kind of give them a larger role on screen.
It's so abysmal though, like the story itself, it's just like, oh my gosh.
No, that's good. I'm going to have to check it out because you're right. I really did enjoy the series a lot, you know, the book series. Like I said, I had some very wild ideas, you know, you have to take it all with a grain of salt. It's just one man's story mm-hmm. that he wanted to tell, but it's illustrated very well and a lot of the highlights of it really hit a home run. You know, they knock it out of the park. And one of my favorite things, of course, you know, who I have to ask, have they introduced the Saint of Killers?
Not yet. Well, okay, like you get like a glimpse.
They kind of hinted at
it. Yeah, they hint at it. So yeah,
okay,
you got to start watching it.
Yeah. Did you ever read his story in the comics?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. That was
awesome. I loved it. So I can't wait to see him on screen. You know, that is one thing I'd love. You know, because I'm not really that kind of fanboy. It's like I want to see it brought to life. That's one dude. I'm like, yeah, I want to see him brought to life and just kick an ass.
Well, from what I've seen so far, it looks like they're going to stick very close to what he represents.
Oh, and you know, speaking of the Saint of Killers in our space, I think we have a track that would be right up their alley. We have one that's not only a little bit Nirvana, but it's a little bit kicking ass.
Let's hear it. Here's Sam Flanagan with Beastie Boys versus Everybody.
Trekkies and TV addicts, don't mean to diss, don't mean to bring static. All your Klingons in your grandma's house, grab your backstreet friend and get loud. Check it out. What's it all about? What's it working out? Let's turn this party out. Check it out. What's it all about? What's it working out? Let's turn this party out.
Like a person with the face, so not goofy like there in a hate, so I'm a
cause my farm ain't fast, so what's up with that? I got friends and family that I respect. When I think I'm too good, they put me in check. So believe when I say I'm no better than you, except when I rap, so I guess it ain't true. Like that, y'all, and you just don't stop, guaranteed to make your body raw.
Check it out. What's it all about? We're working out. Let's turn this party out. Check it out. What's it all about? We're working out. Let's turn this party out.
Said Doc, what's the condition? I'm a man that's on a mission. Said son, you better listen. Stuck in your walk, he's an electrician. Like the scientist, when I'm applying this method of controlling my mind, like outside a rabbit.
Now hey baby, Bubba, now what the deal? I didn't know you go for that mass appeal. So I'm calling Salucci, something happened.
Y'all should just stay patient.
That was Sam Flanagan with Beastie Boys versus Everyone. I mean, I got to tell you, El Bandito, that was a great track.
Yes, indeed it was. I love everywhere it took us, man. I mean, it really took us to everyone, and it just beat them down.
Absolutely, man. Plus, with the mighty Beastie Boys, man, I miss those guys, you know. And I'm glad that they haven't, like, tried to replace, you know, MCA and, they, you know, and, like,
right.
You know, they've kept it
pure.
Yeah, exactly. They're just like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that no more now that guy is gone.
Exactly. And fitting with our preacher comparison, they're not, you know, diluting their bloodline. They're leaving it pure.
Yeah, I sure hope if something ever happened to me, El Bandito, you'd feel that same way about the Power Hour.
Oh, I would. It would be like 45 minutes where I would consider never replacing you.
And then Vera Vermilion would be sitting here.
She would, and we'd have the Power Hour of swallowing. All right, I can't say that. Never mind.
But absolutely, man. Definitely, that was a great track. It was cool, like you said, to hear all those different cuts and samples. And definitely one of Sam Flanagan's best remixes.
Absolutely. It's very good. I love being able to hear all those different sounds, but also blended very well. I mean, that's a skill. You know, you can't, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you're just taking different tracks and you smack them together. Nah, they have to be timed right. They have to be put together right. They have to be layered just properly. It's way more difficult than people think. And you can tell he does it with a very precise hand. So,
yeah, I always, I can't stand when people don't give a DJ credit. You know, they definitely have their skill. You know, it's like, to me, music's music. You know, if somebody's putting some stuff together that sounds good, then that's music to me, you know?
Oh, definitely. But there's still a lot of talent that goes into it. Here, like, watch. We'll show the people right now, okay? I'll drop the rhythm and you drop the beat.
Okay. Hey, El Bandito, why haven't we taken this act out on tour?
Well, we still have that contract with Justin Jordan that we have to keep doing that shitty podcast. Or, I mean, thank you all for listening to our beautiful... Do you know I love you, peoples? I'm just playing.
Absolutely. Power of love, baby. We love you, Podunk.
Yeah, we love you so much, and we want to hear from you. So make sure to hit us up on Facebook at our page, you know, Power Hour of Love. Or you can hit us up on Gmail, powerhourofloveatgmail.com. And go ahead and ask us any love questions that you may have or concerns or general life questions, anything you want to know from the Power Hour. We're always here to answer some questions. And we didn't really get any this week, so you get to listen to us just bullshitting.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, if you actually want some advice or anything like that, feel free to hit us up.
Well, I was talking to Justin Jordan, and I said that we should sanction a hamburger eating contest between us and the other radio shows on Podunk Radio.
Oh, I know. I heard you say that quite a few times, and all I keep thinking is you're probably going to just grow 300 feet tall and eat a whole McDonald's, like the building and all.
Well, let me tell you what, man. I would never eat a whole McDonald's.
No?
The reason why is because, you know, I know a lot of people love their burgers and stuff, but I don't think they're top dog.
What, are you telling me that as the Power Hour of Love, you are not loving it?
Well, I do love that slogan. Yeah, I have to say, man, when it comes to the almighty burgers, I have to go with Wendy's.
Oh, Wendy's. Wendy's does have a pretty good burger. You know, I will give you that. You know, they have the choice quality beef, you know, the fresh, never frozen. They were the originators with that, the whole Where's the Beef campaign. Most of you kiddies are too young to remember that, but...
Hey, do you remember the grill skills video that we saw a few years back?
I do. Wasn't that, didn't someone make a rap mix out of that?
Yeah, it was. It was a rap that they used to show their employees like in the early 90s.
I guess. We should look that up. Should we look that up and play a bit?
Oh, let's do it. Let's play it right now.
All
right,
let's do it. Oh.
We're in outer space.
Yeah, here we go. Here's some grill skills.
That sounds like Satan saying
worship the Dark Lord Wendy's
and all her redhead goodness, pigtails and all. That's some hip 80s hip hop.
Now working the grill, Bill, it ain't so tough. But first of all, you got to check your stuff. Like a grill that's set at 250 with the meat and cheese that's ready to go. A towel to keep your station looking cool. But most of all, you got to have your tool.
A towel?
I think he has his tool.
Yeah.
Are you with me now? Get ready. We're gonna lay them down. Now beef's got grain to it just like wood. You got to follow the arrow to lay it down like you should. From the front to the back, you got to lay it down. Space it evenly, not scattered around. Next, you got to salt the meat from the back to the front to make the taste complete. Not too little, not too much. With the nest, you'll get the touch.
Anytime they compare meat to wood, that's not a good thing.
Anytime they compare preparing your meat to wiping front to back, that's not good either.
Won't reach the proper side. When things start to sizzle, you're ready to go. Gently turn the meat, but don't be slow. Just turn them over easily. We don't want a broken patty, that's a guarantee. Press out the corners, 1, 2,
pretty
three,
sure I've
four.
Gotten a broken patty there.
Keep it going, top and bottom, left and right, and you'll get a patty that's out of sight. Press out the corners nice and wide, at least half an inch on both sides.
Half an inch? Getting pretty specific.
The reason you press, you gotta think. When the meat hits the grill, it starts to shrink.
We start shrinking.
Oh, shrinkage is never good.
Dude, the burgers are singing. I mean, I know the people can't see that, but in the video, they're actually singing.
And they're singing about shrinkage. Shrinkage isn't good. No red juices either.
Press a repeat. Do it again, just like you did before. Do the four-corner press just one time more.
I always do the four-corner press.
Now, once you press,
I think that's USA Slam's move, right? What's his name?
Independence. Uncle Slam.
Uncle Slam, yeah, that's right.
The grill, we want it wet, you see. And keep the meat moist,
so
tight, you see. When the meat's wet, juice no longer rise. You can
serve
that patty, it'll win a prize.
Win a prize.
It takes about 4 minutes to cook, but just to make sure you can have a look. Use your tool and double check, it should be gray and moist to be correct. Place you're ready to go. Drain the meat, just like so. Once the draining is totally done, place the patty squarely on the heel of that bun. Now there you go, Billy.
Yeah, I like to use my tool to drain the meat.
Where do I start? What do I do?
Oh, that's always a good question.
Yes, it always is. It always is.
Is there more to that? You want to keep running?
Yeah, let's hear what else they have to talk about grill skills.
Follow the arrows.
Lay it down like you should.
From front to back, lay it down.
Space it evenly, not scattered all around.
That sounds like the Konami code.
Yeah. I've got to salt the meat
from the back to the front and make the taste complete.
Taste complete.
Not too little.
Not too much.
With the little finesse, I think I'm getting the touch.
That's what the ladies say.
When things start to sizzle, you're ready to go.
Gently turn the meat, but don't be slow.
You have to be gentle with the meat.
Be gentle.
We don't want a broken patty.
That's a guarantee.
Press them now, right?
Top and bottom, left and right.
Billy's a dumbass.
Press out the corners nice and wide, about half an inch on every side.
Try choking up a bit on the spatula.
We didn't even have to make a joke on that one.
Hey, all right.
I wonder if this guy that's playing the rapper dude is like happy about this now.
Let's see.
He shows this to his family and stuff.
The viewers at home, the listeners at home, they can see what actually is going on. But now the trainer and the employee, they're having sex in the grill skills video.
Four-corner press.
Yeah. That sizzling's making me hungry.
Once you press it the second time, don't press it again, because the meat's just fine.
But when you see those juices rise,
you can turn that patty to the other side. Don't scrape the grill, we want it wet, you see.
But keep the meat moist so it's hot and juicy.
And when this red juice no longer rise, you can serve that patty, it'll win a
prize.
It takes just about 4 minutes to
cook.
But just to make sure, you can take a
look.
Use your tool to double.
Okay, listen close and see if you can tell which one's the white guy.
Hey! When an order's placed, you're ready to go. Just drain the meat,
just like so.
Then when all the draining's done, you can place a patty squarely on the heel of the bun.
All right, Billy. That's good. You're getting it down just like I knew you would. But just to be sure, there's still some more.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there's a little more.
The customer orders a single with cheese. Here's the way you do it if you want to please.
Pretty soon our listeners will be able to work at Wendy's.
Don't leave it too long or it'll get too hot.
Yeah, let's get rid of the grill. So we're giving away all the Wendy's secrets.
Do it right.
Yeah.
Drain, then serve on a bun just so. Don't touch it with your fingers. That's a big no-no.
Yeah, I hope so.
To make a double cheese sauce in one bacon,
hey, it's okay to touch with your fingers sometimes.
Don't melt the cheese. The patties have heat. Press them together and it's complete. Drain and serve like you did before. And you can handle any dude who walked through the door.
Oh, man. Well,
those people at Wendy's, man, they should be writing sex ed classes.
You know it, man. I gotta tell you, like, I wonder what today's, you know, Wendy's videos are like. If they probably got like, what's his name, T-Pain doing? He's like, get the burger with all that auto tune going on with them, you know.
No, you know how it is. They're probably like, okay, you do a four corner press. What?
Okay. Oh man, that's hilarious.
So we were going to talk about hamburgers and hamburger contests, and so we listened to that video for 5 minutes. So we hope all of you now really want to send us an email or talk to us on Facebook
or go out and get a Wendy's hamburger.
Yeah, or go get a Wendy's hamburger. Proud sponsor of the Power Hour of Love. Wendy's hamburgers. And we only say that because we make love to burgers. So.
We do. We definitely dig right in. Well, you know, to kind of, you know, being that we didn't actually have our competition, but, you know, a song that goes perfectly with that, you know, is this next track that we have by The Adventures of Dwayne and Brando. Here's Spy Versus Spy.
Look at this white spy rhyming like a white guy. Slap you in your right eye, stab you with my knife. Cut a slice like you like pie. You know I like a flat eye. Dress for your funeral, black suit and tie. It's the Atlanta Pipe. Gonna set your fucking nose with it. Got a briefcase, got everything that goes with it. Fuck a bunch of you, I'll lay you out flat with this bat. As I roll into the chorus, cause I'm cool like that. I hope you got an umbrella, water's falling from the sky. Cause it's my verse, my verse, my verse, my verse. Walk into the room and stick my dick in your eye. It's spy verse, spy verse, spy verse, spy. I got a flight to catch, well that's too bad. What me worried, you gotta be mad. Fix the fuck out and take to the sky. Cause it's spy verse, spy verse, spy verse, spy.
That was Spy Versus Spy by The Adventures of Dwayne and Brando.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, they need to do a Burger Time song.
Oh, yeah, that would have fit in good in our last segment, right? Because, okay, I get the correlation. We were supposed to be talking about a competition, and we got down on the rabbit hole on the whole burger thing.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. You know, and talking about the grill skills.
Yeah, the competition aspect of, you know, Wendy's versus Burger King versus McDonald's would have fit in a little better with the Spy Versus Spy. But I don't think any of our fans can argue that getting a taste of the original grill skills video was a special treat for all of them. And in case, you know, we didn't, you know, illuminate that well enough for you previously. That is the actual training video from Wendy's in the 1980s. The whole thing starts with Dave Thomas. You know, he comes out there, tells you, oh, we're going to teach you how to cook the thing. And then they bring out this rapper, and he's not like well-known or anything,
no,
right?
Yeah, no,
he's
no.
Just some rapper. Yeah,
probably just an employee that's like, man, Bob, you're good at rapping. Why don't you go
rap? He probably wrote that, just, and that's how he remembers to do it all the time. Yeah. And they heard him. They're like, let's record him, man. That'd be great. We'll make him for the video.
Now, you know, that's probably a good idea, old bandit. That's probably what they did. They were like, oh, man, he likes to rap about the grill skills.
Yeah, and they were like, he's useless on the grill. He's always fucking singing. Get him back there and have him do a video. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
But
that's what that crazy video was. And I hope you all enjoyed that. And look for it on YouTube. It's hilarious to listen to. It's even better to watch, so check it out.
Absolutely, and thanks to Dwayne and Brando for that great track, Spy vs. Spy, classic Mad Magazine references there in a video game on the NES. But why stop there? Let's just dive into some more good tracks. Here's Tishy Pop with Red Bunny.
Bunny, happy, 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 red, bunny.
And that was Tishy Pop with Red Bunny.
Man, that track had me going down the rabbit hole.
No doubt. That one definitely has a sort of spiraling descent feel to it that is very, it's like a cross between Alice in Wonderland and Tripping Balls on Ecstasy.
Oh, absolutely. I think about like some kind of like, I mean, it's definitely a Red Bunny, you know, just kind of falling down the spiral hole and, you know.
Like, what's the spiral hole? I've been with a lot of women, so I don't think I found the spiral hole.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, like the little spinning, you know, almost like hypnotizing kind of spiral, you know.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
Doo, 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 doo. Yeah. You know, it's like when, you know, it's spiraling down and like falling in this, like a red area, almost like a hand.
Yeah. Like a hand.
Yeah, like a hand.
What do you mean, like a hand?
You know, like a little shadowy person falling into a hand.
Oh, man, are you talking about that like X-Files thing? I was telling you last time that it really freaks me out, man.
That's what Red Bunny makes me think of.
No, I don't like that. I think of it more of like the Matrix when you take the red pill and, you know, you get to go and... Which one was it? Was the red pill go back to your regular life? Or
I thought it was the red pill was go, right?
Was
it?
Go into the Matrix? Or I don't know.
We must have taken the other pill.
I would have taken both pills. Fuck that. You only live once. Enjoy whatever pills strangers hand you. It's fine.
Absolutely.
But yes, Tishy Pop is one of those amazing bands that, like we were saying earlier, is a performance art. So, you know, as intriguing and engaging as their music can be, when you see their performance as a whole, it's something else. So check out some photos of them. They're going to be on the Digital Evening with Jim Rose Facebook page. So you can look that up online. It's at Distillery and Stewart and all of that. And check out some of the pictures. See the kind of crazy performance they have. And that's what you're in store for when you get to see Tishy Pop.
Absolutely, El Bandito. And speaking of that, we should tell people about some of the more upcoming events that are coming this month.
You got it, senor. What have we got?
First and foremost, on July 1st, we have the Troubadours at Distillery starting at 9 p.m. with special guest Wolves of Chernobyl from Alabama. You know, with a name like Wolves of Chernobyl, I wouldn't have expected them to be from Alabama. But yeah, that's about as much information as we got on that one. But it seems like it would be a really cool show. It's starting up a little later, so things should really be kicking at that time. So
the Wolves of Chernobyl from Alabama. Now in Europe, wasn't the original Georgia in Europe? Maybe they have the original Alabamas in Europe too.
Oh yeah, that's I don't a know. Good point.
But
yeah.
Do you ever see that Hot Tub Time Machine movie where they have the Chernobyl that makes them go back in time?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
man.
Maybe these guys escaped the Chernobyl blast and, you know, that's why they're Wolves of Chernobyl. I don't know. It sounds awesome, though. I love the name. It sounds really cool. Let's go and see them.
Let's definitely check it out. Well, tell them what we have next, El Bandito.
So coming up just after that on July 3rd, they have Give 'em the SoFlo Boot at Johnny Q's down in Palm Springs.
Oh, man. Palm Springs?
Yes. Where the fuck is Palm Springs? I have no idea. I don't know where Palm Springs is, though, but where is Palm Springs?
I don't know, El Bandito.
Okay, Google that shit. Okay, you guys are all sitting in front of the computer if you're listening to us, so don't sit there and expect us to tell you everything.
So who's playing at this Give 'em the SoFlo Boot?
Well, it looks like they're going to have Take Warning.
All right.
Butch and the Fat Dubes, who we've already discussed what an epic name that is.
Absolutely.
They have Whiskey Walls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Carol Stop Calling.
Hey, Carol Stop Calling. They're going to be playing at the Green Jello show in August.
You'll get a chance to see them first down at Johnny Q's in Palm Springs. And they're going to be doing a show between 3 and 8 p.m. And that's what it's called. The Give 'em this SoFlo Boot, you know, which I assume means the South of Florida boot to the ass to
absolutely
kick your summer into overdrive.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a little bit of an earlier show, but that just means that they keep rocking right afterwards.
Is that a Friday or a Sunday? I think it's a Sunday, isn't it?
Oh, wait, that's right. It is. Yeah, it is a little bit of an earlier show, but, you know, it is a Sunday. So, you know, they probably want to shut things down a little earlier, get ready for that dreaded Monday.
That dreaded Monday is July 4th, though, so you're off.
Oh. Good point, El Bandito. Maybe they want to have plenty of time to let off fireworks then.
Yeah, and hopefully they do it all Jackass style where they like tie them to their penises and things.
Come on, we don't want that to happen to Butch and the Fat Dubes and all of
Hey, if
friends.
They have a fat dube, they can launch a firework off it.
Well, I have to tell you, El Bandito, a few weeks back, I was contacted by this band, Blind Sound, who informed me that they're going to be doing a mini Florida tour in July.
Oh, so they're going to have a little tour of a couple shows around the state?
Absolutely. You know, the first show is on July 15th at Distillery in Stewart.
Okay.
The second show is going to be on July 16th at Planet Sarbez in St. Augustine.
Ooh, St. Augustine. That's very lovely.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. And then July 29th at the Kelsey Theater in Lake Park, opening for California rock band Honey.
Oh, so that's an even more special treat there.
That'll be a good show down at the Kelsey, and I'm sure it's a big honor for Blind Sound to get to open for Honey.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you can open for a national act like that that's coming all the way from the other coast to come in here and play a gig, it's always a pleasure to open for them. So, you know, that should be very exciting for them, and their whole mini tour sounds very exciting. You know, July 15th at the Distillery right here in our backyard.
Yep.
You know, we plug the Distillery all the time. They do a lot of great stuff there. Absolutely. July 16th at this Planet Sarbez in St. Augustine. I mean, who doesn't like taking a trip up to the fort, right?
Yep, you know? And there's absolutely lots of pirates up there. Arr.
Yeah, and they have all the haunted tours and things like that. I like that.
It's lots of fun.
Yeah, and then to end it off down in the kind of like Fort Lauderdale Lake Park area, down at the Kelsey Theater, which is, you know, an old-time venue that's recently come back into prominence. And man, they're just lining up some pretty awesome stuff. So we'll be keeping an eye on the Kelsey Theater and letting you know or what's coming up in their ranks too.
Absolutely, El Bandito. So to kind of go with the flow of Blind Sound's upcoming tour, we have a track here from them titled Out of It.
Yeah.
And that was Out of It by Blind Sound. You'd have to be out of it to not enjoy that track.
Absolutely, El Bandito. Blind Sound is the sound of the next generation of local musicians.
Absolutely, senor. And we're looking forward to what they have in store, but also what everyone else out there has in store and all their different styles and musical talents and things like this. So, you know, we encourage everyone in the new generation of music to, you know, step up to the plate and show us what you got.
Absolutely, El Bandito. And if any other bands out there want to have their music played on the Power, be sure to shoot it our way, as El Bandito said. I mean, poweroflove@gmail.com. And we'll be sure to play it on here. Well, we hope that everybody has a great 4th of July. Keep it safe. Try not to blow yourself up with the firecrackers and mortars.
And El Bandito knows he'll be celebrating his night with a bang. So all of you beautiful listeners out there, I hope you do the same.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Things were going so great, but what happened? Something must have happened.
It's not you. It's me.
Listen. I was thinking we should break up or whatever.
I am breaking up with you.
Consider that a divorce.
Choking up a bit on the spatula.